This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Wes Durham is back from Chapel Hill. Captain Ron's over there working on drones. We got Robert. We got Otto's in the Christmas decoration room, so making sure that Mrs. P's refrigerator is not touched only by him. Chester's sound asleep on the Jim Phillips blanket on the Roger Goodell chair. And Fuller is excited right that Buddy Wes is back in studio.
Fuller's right here.
In the basement.
Drew Brooks, Josh Macri are producing. Adam Brooks, parentheses, no relation, question mark, directing. There we go, brothers. We've just been confirmed. Adam Brooks, one half of the Lumberjacks' brother, Drew Brooks.
The smart people in Bristol.
Yeah. How you doing?
Better than you, man.
Wow, I'm fine.
I got more sleep than you did for the first time. And this is show 567, and I believe I actually got more sleep than you did.
How much did
that
you get last night?
That does not happen very
How
often.
How much did you get last night?
I watched the end of the Pitt destruction.
Well,
of
bless
Carolina.
Your heart. I appreciate you participating.
I watched you last night.
Thanks.
No, the ceremony had to be cool. We'll get all that stuff, too. I was stunned at watching ACC Hoops last night because we had the three teams that had to win.
Right.
Right. Miami had to win at Louisville. First time ever. Notre Dame had to get revenge and win against BC.
Right.
Goes overtime. North Carolina had to win.
To set up Saturday.
To quad four Pitt. And you know what? It wasn't easy for anybody last night.
No, and it was interesting because the other ball game started ahead of ours, but then you get to Chapel Hill last night and you know kind of what's happening in the other two, and fired out of the gate were the Panthers of Jeff Capel. Ithiel Horton, 5 for 5 from three.
Packer and Durham bump.
Mohamedou
Thank you
Gee
very much.
Driving it. And here's Femi Odekalli on the way to a 10.9-assist game, I guess. I mean, you're thinking about, holy cow, Pittsburgh is going to get this done. They took great momentum into the locker room. Now, Chapel Hill, Carolina, comebacks, all that stuff, right? Doesn't happen last night.
Well, North Carolina did come back.
Well, they came back, but it didn't get to be like storybook stuff like it's happened in that building before. They got it to 6, but that was as close as they got it last night.
I got to tell you, Wes, that is a stunningly bad loss for North Carolina. Great for Pitt, right? 3 consecutive conference wins. Give Jeff Capel and his guys all the credit in the world for still fighting. I mean, you get to this time of the year, you kind of see handwriting on the wall where you become the right side. Hey, it's all about Brooklyn. Hey, man, give Pitt a ton of credit. They had won a game on the road in forever. They go to Tallahassee, they win that game, come back home, take care of business, and, man, they go to Chapel Hill and win again. And for a game like for North Carolina, Seth Greenberg tried to preach to everybody yesterday on the show, down the stretch, there are games that you simply cannot lose if you're walking the tightrope for the NCAA tournament. North Carolina, you can't – we talked about it yesterday – can't look ahead to Virginia Tech, that quad one opportunity. You have to take care of business at home. And at halftime, Wes, you're like, hey, anybody home? Anybody paying attention? Anybody awake?
Right.
Hello? Is this thing on? I mean, give Pitt all the credit in the world.
Absolutely.
They took the fight to North Carolina. Pitt going to the game was 179 in the net. Right? 179. That is a quad four. North Carolina, that loss last night was a killer.
Yep.
As far as the big picture.
It's going to be interesting because I think we've got, obviously, Carolina goes to Blacksburg on Saturday.
Yep.
But the way last night unfolded was eerily reminiscent to, you would almost say, to step back to some of the other issues that have faced Carolina during the course of the year. And, you know, you can take the Tennessee game. You can take the ball game against Kentucky. You can take the Miami, the Notre Dame, Duke. Some of those road losses we talked about. The home loss to Duke, Wake, those type things. You know, every once in a while, here comes this game where there's not the edge. There's not the fight in Carolina and the energy. Now, it's a little late for growing points, as they say, right? I mean, you're a little late in February now to be teachable moments. But this is still a different kind of hand of cards Carolina's playing. And last night, I was surprised at the turnovers and the points off turnovers because even Hubert Davis remarked to Dan Bonner and I yesterday afternoon, they've been doing a better job of not turning over the basketball. And then last night, it seemed that Pitt came in determined after wins against Florida State and NC State You kind of felt like Jeff Capel's team was dangerous in a sense that they were playing with confidence. But last night, their confidence just got buoyed in the first 10 minutes by their ability to turn Carolina over and produce something at the other end of the floor.
Yeah, North Carolina helped them a ton. They said, yes. Oh, thank you very much. You guys are feeling good about life, playing loose and got nothing to lose. Cool. Watch us just – I mean, that was just – I can't spin it any other way.
Well,
that was a horrific loss for North Carolina. When you're this late in the season, you know what's at stake. Everybody's talking about, hey, you don't have a quad one win, yada, yada, yada. Here's Virginia Tech this weekend.
Right.
You've got to win those games. Those have got to be givens. But as I said, the last night in the ACC, Miami, they're walking a tightrope too a little bit. And as far as the tournament goes, you can't have a one of those slip-ups against Louisville, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame, hey, they're going to overtime with BC. They were in trouble. They're down five late and had to rally back and win that thing. So, man, it was a weird night last night in the league. But that North Carolina loss, that one is going to resonate.
Yeah, no question. And you see the graphic part of the Twitter timeline of Brian Ives, our producer here, and by his Twitter handle, you can tell, noted Carolina fan.
You think?
Opposing head coaches to win at North Carolina the last 2 years, Steve Wojciechowski, Mike Krzyzewski, and Jeff Capel.
That's not a trend.
Here's the other tweets from Ives. North Carolina's loss to Pitt likely ensures the Tar Heels will be unranked in three consecutive AP polls for the first time since 1962-66. Those were Dean Smith's first six seasons, and the final AP poll consisted of just 10 teams.
Well, that to me is not stunning. I mean, they haven't been ranked in forever. Right? I mean, what makes you think all of a sudden they're going to flip the switch and we're going to be in the top 25?
Okay, and here's the thought that I would give to you this morning.
We've had one ACC team ranked in the top 25 basically the whole year.
Correct.
So what makes you think that was going
to happen? But I'm going to go back to a football conversation we have along these lines. And when I saw that this morning in the notes, I immediately thought of the statement that you've made from time to time that the brand names almost have to be there to ensure the league's reputation nationally, right? Remember how you talk about Miami and Virginia Tech and Florida State?
The national narrative.
With Clemson.
The national narrative.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, the national narrative on the ACC, with only Duke ranked, the fact Carolina's not ranked, the fact that Virginia's not ranked.
Notre Dame's tied for first and crickets.
Right.
Then they beat Kentucky.
Correct. But it is also affecting the national narrative you oftentimes talk about with football.
There is no doubt. I mean, it's the lowest hanging fruit when all of a sudden your regular teams in the Pac-12 has had the same issue with football. Man, USC stinks, and nobody is any good in that.
That's exactly right.
We saw last year in hoops. Yep. Oh, the Pac-12 is a snoozer. And again, we got into the tournament, and all of a sudden the Pac-12 is winning everything, and UCLA looks like a world beater. So, yeah, your brands have to be good. That's how it works.
Yeah.
But, for North Carolina, like I said, I'm going to go back to what's at stake here. That's why we keep emphasizing how important this particular week is with all the matchups coming up. You just cannot lose to the right side of the standings.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah, that's got to be a given.
Yeah.
So for Hubert Davis, he's going to be rolling out of bed today going, boy, oh boy, oh boy. It almost feels like a must win in Blacksburg.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't you agree with that?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Now, let me also, for all the Carolina downside here, I do want to say something about the way Pittsburgh's playing.
No question.
Okay? I want to make sure that people understand this is not the Kevin Stallings punching bag tour that the Panthers used to be. This is a team that, much like the football comparisons, you continue to see improvement. Yeah, there was roster volatility and things like that, and they've been sidetracked by injuries and other things off the floor a little bit this year. But you know what? You give Jeff Capel a lot of credit because they have continued to develop a playing personality. And you know what? They play like the city they're from.
Right. That's the thing I like about it.
And you know what? They've got a big man who's effective. I mean, that first catch of the post last night where he reset the pivot foot and scored on Baycott, that let Armando Baycott know, hey, man.
Tonight. You're dealing with a grown man.
Yeah, you got to come in here tonight and mean it.
Yep.
You want to go to the league? Well, let me tell you what. This is what the league's got.
You're 100% right.
I mean, and so then you get Horton booing his play, as you like to say, the Packer and Durham bomb.
He did. He got the Packer and Durham. He's on the show this week. What'd you do? 5 for 5 from three.
So
you don't think that magic exists from the basement? You're crazy. It happens.
But Oda Cali, Gee, they play with a personality. They have a little bit of an edge to them.
And they're playing free. I mean, hey, finally, we're winning games. Man, this is fun again, right? And North Carolina playing tight. And I just thought the lack of energy was so apparent early. It was just like, hey, you know what? Man, you gotta put your foot on somebody's throat this time of year.
Right.
You got to. Got to do it.
Well, now Pittsburgh has a chance to equal their all-time ACC win streak on Saturday against Georgia Tech. Last time they won four in a row was when Jamie Dixon's first team.
How about that? You got Pitt with that. You got Virginia Tech was won six consecutive ACC wins.
And you know the Hokies love to see Carolina.
Oh, I'm telling you what. Saturday in
Blacksburg. Corey Alexander and I are going to walk into a rock concert.
Saturday in Blacksburg. I mean, it is going to be raucous.
Oh, my God.
It was the other night for the Virginia game. This one means even more because the Hokies are playing themselves into conversation, right? And North Carolina, after last night's dud, you can't have an 0-2 week. You just can't. Can't do it.
I think you find out, and I'll just say that this is not breaking news to Mike Young or anybody in Blacksburg. Hubert Davis finds out between now and Saturday at 4 o'clock what the real state of his basketball team
is. There
is
no doubt. You are 1,000,000,000% right. 100. You're all over.
Because it's really about Carolina Saturday. And, now Virginia Tech, don't get me wrong, is really good.
I think the Hokies are feeling it.
But Carolina has to deliver.
They have to win.
Right.
You have to win this game if you're North Carolina. I tell you what, we've got three beauties on Saturday in this league.
And we're having a hard time. It already sounds like we've been struggling to identify the Packer game of the weekend.
I got an inside vibe on Saturday. Because, okay. I mean, that Notre Dame at Wake Forest game is big. Miami, Virginia.
Boy, the Irish
big.
Almost kicked the can last
the
night.
The Irish were playing with – they were flirting with the devil last night. They were. And BC was – like Pitt, BC brought a little toughness. Like, hey, you know, we whipped you once. Why can't we beat you again? And we'll get in all these games. It was a really strange night last night in the ACC.
About the time everybody just kind of settles in, think the script's just going to play along.
Nah. So how was halftime? Rocking?
Oh, it was, you
and
know
despite
what?
Despite the game and the added.
Look,
talk about the half.
Let me just say this. I cannot thank the athletics department at North Carolina, the Rams Club, and the university. And by the way, the UNC Board of Trustees that did this. And then last night was incredibly special for our family, but especially so for my mom. And
Miss Jean.
Miss Jean.
Looking like a million bucks.
Miss Jean right there in the front row last night. She and Vicky and my brother were hanging out right there on Main Street.
Good to see Vicky get up there.
Vicky
get some airtime.
Vicky got some airtime last night. Always important. I mean, after all, she's the one that's been in movies.
That's exactly right.
I mean, she's
get
been
the
in real
name
movies.
Right. Get understand what we're doing.
Understand
here.
Understand who's in charge and who the top bill is at that house.
That's
right.
Exactly that's right.
Just like when you roll on the floor to Bocelli, who's in charge?
That's exactly.
That's
right.
Exactly right. So we had a great time last night. Thanks again to everybody with the school. And let me give a special shout out to Chapel Hill Sportswear. Because
is your new name, image, and likeness deal?
No, it's not actually. But they do have name, image, and likeness with a lot of our friends. Holly Dedman and everybody involved at Chapel Hill Sportswear, we developed a shirt in 2017 and they became partners in 2017 with us on a T-shirt that has my dad's phrase, go where you go and do what you do, with his signature on it. And Chapel Hill Sportswear, since the day we launched that, has not taken a dime off that shirt. Every shirt that is sold goes straight to the UNC Medical Foundation for a fund that is devoted to research and programs and support for aphasia.
That's very cool.
Which is, you know, what my dad died from. And so last night, I had no idea this was happening. I walk in and I find out that the Rams Club had purchased 500 shirts to hand out to the students on the risers, and Ramesses was wearing one, and Jones and Eric and everybody on Carolina's radio broadcast had one on last night to salute Dad.
That's cool.
But thanks again to everybody involved last night, especially to Holly and everybody at Chapel Hill Sportswear for continuing. You can still go online and order this shirt. It's only $15. They did a great job with us on price point, and every dime goes to the UNC Medical Foundation.
Well, I know who we should be working with our Packer and Durham merchandise if ESPN ever decides to go with it.
Yeah.
That's a quick phone call.
Yeah, we could do that. So here's a quick look. We go to break. When we come back, we'll outline the show for you. And Boston College and Notre Dame go to extra basketball, free good basketball game last night.
Tight.
Miami, Louisville at the Yum Center. All that and more coming up. But first, thanks again to everybody for a special night.
Joining us on the court this evening are Woody's wife, Miss Jean, their sons, Taylor and Wes, and Wes' wife, Vicky. The Durhams are accompanied by Carolina Chancellor Kevin Guskovich and Rams Club Executive Director John Montgomery. Carolina Athletics would like to thank the incredibly generous donor whose gift will ensure Woody's impact will be known for future generations of Tar Heel fans. We'd also like to thank the UNC Board of Trustees for approving the name and the Rams Club for purchasing 500 Hey Woody t-shirts for all the students tonight. Sales of these shirts benefit the Woody Durham Phasia Fund. John Montgomery is now presenting a commemorative photo of the Woody Durham Media and Communications Center to the Durham family. Thank you, Miss Jean, Taylor, Wes, and Vicky for sharing the legendary Woody Durham with us for four decades. Carolina Athletics is excited to honor Woody by providing coverage of Tar Heel teams and student athletes for many years to come in the newly named Woody Durham Media and Communications Center. Congratulations.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham.
Is that the name of the show?
That'd be right.
Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.
Not Parker and Durham. Packer and Durham.
That's it. Packer and Durham.
By the way, lots of folks last night, again, said to tell you hello. See, enjoy watching the show.
People feel sorry for me because they know I never leave the premise. I mean, they just understand, you know, that poor guy. He just down there with them dogs all for 20 hours a day. He does the radio all day in the afternoon. He does the TV thing in the morning. He just never gets a chance to leave and see people.
Do you know that mostly every time people's first question is that really his basement?
And people,
I said, yes, it's really
his
basement.
I did a radio interview the other day. And said, man, you must have the greatest life. I say, I'm very blessed. Tell us what a typical day's like. So I explain what my day, and they were, I said, I'm going to put you to sleep. I have the most boring day of any human being on the planet.
16 steps.
I have my commute, 16 steps. I make coffee for the crew. Make sure Otto doesn't steal Mrs. P's beer. The Christmas decoration room in the refrigerator. I feed the dogs. I walk outside with the dogs at 3:30 in the morning. You know, I stay in here basically 18, 20 hours a day. That's it. All I do all day is read. There's nothing exciting about it.
And in the meantime, he works on the manifesto.
There's no pizzazz to it. Oh, it's such a cool life. Okay, great.
Sure.
I mean, it's just a job, man. Don't worry about it.
All right, speaking of pizzazz and cool lives, let's go to South Bend.
This was a rock fight last night. There was nothing easy for the Irish last night. BC was tough. They were physical. And this had ACC index card written all
over it. Yes, it did.
Lover.
Yes, it did. By the way, BC wearing the sharp alternates last
night.
Love
the Heights.
The Heights jerseys are big, and the Heights jerseys usually, you know, they produce. There's Nate Leshefsky scoring. Dane Goodwin was the star last night. But it took everybody to get Boston College out of there. 99-95 in overtime. It's the fifth overtime ACC game of the year. All five starters in double figures last night for Notre Dame.
Yep.
Goodwin, 23. Blake Wesley, 18.
Prentice Hubb down the stretch made some big shots and a ton of free throws.
Yeah.
And BC had Notre Dame in deep trouble, and
yep,
you could feel it. Crowd was kind of out of it, and you know, this is one of those kind of games, Wes, you will look back at the season and pick a game here and there that you just kind of figured out a way to win. For Notre Dame, now 8-1 in games decided by 5 points or less. We talked about that yesterday, the thin line between what Notre Dame's done versus a team like Clemson who's 1-7 in those 5 points or less. That's the difference between going, hey, we got a chance versus, yep, hey, we're in the basement.
Yep, no doubt about
Not
it.
Not this basement. You know, the basement.
So, So it was a pure index card game.
Last night was what we talk about the infamous ACC index card. We don't come up with conspiracies. You do. That was an overtime game.
Well,
the discrepancy from the free throw line was 39 to 18.
Let's go to the index card. Here's the update, shall we? Let's just go ahead and get this out of the way.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Updated. This is the foul margin. Again, negative is good here. Negative is good. Notre Dame, the leader in the clubhouse, nearly double Miami. Again, we don't come up with conspiracies. You do. So you go down the list. Everybody's got a negative. You're like, okay, I can live with that. That means that the benefit of the calls in terms of numbers are going our way.
Sure, absolutely.
The flip side, if you're on the right side and you see those positives, that's not necessarily a really good thing. And if you're Georgia Tech, you're wondering, man, we're the defending champs of the league. We're at plus 70. The next closest is Louisville, who hasn't won a game in seemingly about a month and a half. They're at plus 31. But don't let the fouls bother you, because normally the free throw attempt margin is where people really like to take note.
Gosh.
Here you go.
Duke back on top.
Duke back on top. Plus 63 for the Devils. I tell you, those 50s and 40s, those look nice if you're in that department. And, you know, if you're North Carolina and Florida State in the teens, that's fine. Virginia's on the plus side. Then you go to the other side, the negatives.
And what about the Swiss? What's going on there?
Well, the Swiss, you know, turn the ball over a lot. A lot of times other guys go on the line, whatever the case may be. But Georgia Tech at negative 85. A bit far away from Duke's positive 63. Again, we don't do conspiracies. You do.
That's right.
That right there is the infamous ACC index card.
We're going to stitch that on a pillow.
Understand there was a ACC basketball coach made reference to you the other day about the index card. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Good.
That's all I have to say about
that's
that.
All I'm going to say.
That's all
I'm going to say.
Yeah, coach asked me about the index card. I said, Mark's been doing it since the 90s.
Since the late 90s.
Yeah.
Came up with that. And I told you the story originally when I came up with that on
this?
Radio.
Yeah.
At the time, the current regime running the ACC at the time did not particularly care for my index card. And they made it perfectly clear that I should stop doing it on radio. And here we are now on television 25 years later.
On the conferences network.
Hey, the numbers are the numbers. Don't point the finger at me. They're
because,
your
again, Mark, as you like to say.
Hey, we don't do conspiracies. We don't. Those are your officials. Those are your coaches. Those are your players. And those are your numbers. We are just here
to present
as a facilitator.
Yeah, that's
all we do.
Presenters, as they say
that's
in Europe.
All
right,
do.
Let's go to the
Yums. By the way, that in the day when I was in control,
sure,
I had that thing sponsored. We made money off of that. Just an idea down the road.
The infamous ACC index card had a sponsor?
I sold that thing in a million. Are you kidding me?
You had a corporate sponsor?
I had a corporate sponsor.
A corporate champion of the ACC?
I got a sponsor for it. If the network would allow, I'd go get you a sponsor for it right now.
Oh, my heavens. All right, quickly. Before
we'd catch the SEC in money in 2 seconds.
Before we never see show 600, let's get to the action at the Yum Center last night, where Miami led for 36 minutes and still had to hold on. Never could distance themselves, it felt like.
No, I tell you what, though, Miami's guards early. Man, Mr. Moore is making threes. And, you know, these guards are a headache, man. They just cause problems. Crowd was a little light, a little quiet. It's been a while for the cards. It's been a rough, rough stretch. But Miami did what they had to do, Wes. You go on the road, you win at a place where you've never won before, a since-dirt moment for Jim Larrañaga and the Canes, and they were just tougher down the stretch. They just were always a step ahead of Louisville. Cards played hard to get that thing tight, but at the end, Miami made a few more plays. And by the way, seven straight losses for Louisville. That's the longest losing streak since the 1940-41 season.
Wow.
Let that marinate a second.
Jim Larrañaga, by the way, had to check Louisville off the list. Now has an ACC win in every campus.
How about that? Back-to-back. Had never won at Lawrence Joel.
Yeah.
Right? Wins in Switzerland over the weekend. Comes back from 13 down. A little more comfortable as far as last night goes in terms of no rallies. But that does something that, hey, marks it off the check. And by the way, he passes Dave Odom, too, as far as ACC wins, up to number 13.
former assistants to Torres.
Yeah, that's right. I tell you what, old Jim Larranaga having a heck of a year, man. So I asked that question to our boy Seth yesterday.
About coach of the year?
Yeah. I mean, he's got to be in the conversation.
Absolutely.
Right?
I think he and Steve Forbes right there.
I mean, they were picked 12th and 13th by the media before the season. I know Mike Bray's got the Irish tied for first, and he should be in the conversation too.
Yeah.
But there's some really good conversations as far as who should be the ACC Coach of the Year.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Here's a guy for Carolina who is putting together a fantastic year in his final season. Clay Lowe.
Oh, the double! The double! The double! Nothing yet! The double! We're going to get the takedown!
Clay Lowe really is one of the heavy favorites in that ACC tournament in Virginia.
We go from one national championship contender to another. It's 157, Hayden Hidley, North Carolina State's first four-time All-American. Recently, just the six-pack wrestler, rich history of North Carolina State, to hit 100 career wins.
Time to get your popcorn ready if you're watching at home.
Hello, America. This is ACC Wrestling.
Oh, how I love the duels on a Friday night. We're going to do something we've never done before on this show. Now, we've interviewed wrestling coaches. We interviewed wrestlers. But, Wes, we've never had wrestler versus wrestler.
That's right.
NC State and North Carolina are going to get together this week, and we're going to bring these two dudes on together.
Yeah,
who knows where this is going to go?
Because they're going to go in the same weight class. Hayden Hidley, you know, of course, from NC State, and Clay Lout from Carolina join us this morning from Raleigh and Chapel Hill, respectively. You know, now in the old TV wrestling days, boys, this would be like Packer and I standing there and y'all coming out in sunglasses and fur coats and starting the verbiage. So this is a little different, but we appreciate the time this morning. And I want to get a thought from both of you on just State Carolina, because it seemingly does not matter the sport. When it's these two schools, Hayden, it's just State Carolina. It can be wrestling. It can be anything, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think growing up in Pennsylvania, wasn't always used to this kind of rivalry. Mm. But as soon as I got on campus, I quickly learned of the ins and outs of it. And, you know, it's really great just culturally. You kind of embrace it. And, no matter what sport it is, all of our fans seem to come out, and the attendance numbers are crazy, and people don't even really have to like wrestling itself or know any of the rules. They come out and they cheer, and that's kind of how we as a program can really embrace those kind of fans and teach them about wrestling and teach them all that our team has to offer.
All right, so Clay, Hayden is from Pennsylvania. You come from Kansas. How fast did the State Carolina thing hit you?
About as fast as the Duke Carolina thing hit me. but yeah, it's a little more high stakes in this rivalry. The atmosphere's going to be wild. NC State brings out a lot of fans for this match always, so I expect a sold out arena, loud arena. But those are the fun matches, so I'm excited for this one.
You know, guys, every time we talk like Duke Carolina from basketball, we hear players talk about, well, you know, we get along, and for the most part, the fans are the ones that can't stand each other. But, you know, we see each other from time to time. Is that true when it comes to wrestling? I mean, how often is there any interaction between State and Carolina, between you two guys? I mean, is there conversations or, hey, listen, that's the enemy, and on Friday night, I'm looking to pin somebody. So, Clay, I'll start with you. Oh, the interaction with other wrestlers, especially on Tobacco Road, is that often or never happens?
It doesn't happen too often. I stick around my team most of the time. I know a lot of these guys at NC State growing up through high school, but we kind of stick to, at least at Chapel Hill, we kind of stick to ourselves. I'm friends with all the guys on our team, and I don't really have too many interactions with NC State and Duke.
Hmm. Hayden, same thing.
Yeah, no, I don't have a whole lot of interaction with those guys. I always feel like the rivalry is always a big melting pot for the fans to go at each other. But I think as athletes, we're always a little bit too focused on what we have to accomplish. And it's like in a wrestling match, you're usually too tired to talk any kind of trash to begin with. so that's kind of hard to do. But I've always felt you know, as a high-level athlete, if you need any of, like, the extrinsic factors to kind of motivate you to get up for a match like this, I think you're going to be in trouble. And so I think as a high-level athlete, you have to find those internal motivators. And whenever you get out onto the mat, you know, you've got your blinders on and you have to stick to what you're great at. And so although the stakes are higher and there's some more, I would say, distractions coming for a match like this, when it comes down to it, you go out into the mat, and it's kind of like the horses from the Kentucky Derby where you got your blinders on and they don't know anything other than they like to run and they need to win. And so that's kind of that's what it's like from an athlete's perspective.
All right, I'm going to ask both of you guys this question. And you, be honest now, all right? Be honest. Hayden, I'll start with you. Does it ever get personal in a match?
It's always personal, you know, no matter who you're wrestling. You take two guys out and put them in a mat and 7 minutes plus on the clock, how can it not be personal? You know, that's the way I've always thought about it. And I never needed any kind of extra factor to motivate me, because it simply comes down to two guys trying to conquer each other. And it's always personal when it comes down to that. And, you know, it doesn't really matter what kind of shade of blue the other person is wearing. It's personal regardless.
Clay, same question.
Yeah, I would say it's personal. You know, I don't have anything against the guy I'm wrestling, but you know, I want to go out there and win. He wants to go out there and beat me. So I'd say that's a personal conflict going on. You know, I'm not one to talk trash or nothing like that, but you know, I want to take care of business, and I know Hayden wants to take care of business. So,
hey, Clay, I want to counter to something that I'm fascinated by, and that's the individualistic nature of this sport in a team concept. I mean, you know, you can have individual success, and you guys have both enjoyed it. But it is a team game, so to speak, yet dictated by individual performance. So how do you qualify that in your world of preparation and certainly in your competition? Clay, does that ever cross your mind of understanding the bigger picture with the team and the individual effort?
Yeah, especially for dual season. We're always worried about the team's performance. But as far as in preparation, I can only prepare myself to get ready for my match, and that's on each individual's responsibility to prepare for the match and be ready to go out there and scrap. But when the team performance is taken into account like a duel, I think that makes it way more fun than the ACC individual tournaments. Just because you get to go out there and compete for your team, you'll cheer everyone on. That's what makes it so exciting. You see guys on the bench jumping up and down. And it's also kind of interesting because, you know, you get off of a loss, but you got to go right back on the bench and cheer on your teammates. We do take in the, I don't know. I'll let Hayden take it.
No, I'll tell you what. Here's what I'm going to do. This is cool that, first of all, that you guys agreed to do this, because the duel is going to be awesome. The Friday night duels on the ACC Network are spectacular. Hayden, I'll leave it with you. Give me one thing that you've seen in Clay, without divulging your game plan here, but what's the one thing about Clay that you go, you know what, that's a problem. I got to deal with it. And Clay, I'm going to ask you the same question about Hayden.
Well, I think, you know, win or lose, he's in a lot of close matches. And so what that tells me is, you know, defensively he's very sound, and, you know, no matter who he's wrestling, he's going to be tough to score on. And so, you know, luckily, like in the past, I've seen a lot of his tape, and obviously he's wrestled a lot of my teammates, and he wrestled my brother last year. And so I guess I can look back at that match, and, you know, he even bumped up for that match. And anyone that can hang with Trent for 7 minutes and keep it pretty close is, you know, toughness and strength, that's not ever going to be in question. And so you kind of have to form a game plan around that. And I'm really looking forward to the challenge for sure. I think it's a really unique setup just because of me moving up two weight classes, and he has a lot of success at this weight in the past. And so this is really where the season kind of starts for me, because I've had some success so far, but now this weekend, all in one trip, I get to take on the two best guys of the ACC. And so very exciting matchup, and kind of there's some conflicting styles that will go on, but overall I think it's two very tough guys that aren't going to be willing to give up many points.
Yeah, don't forget NC State, Virginia Tech is Sunday.
How can you forget? Right. Are you kidding me? Clay, same question about Hayden.
Yeah, I think Hayden's strength is his underhook. I think both the Headley brothers, I wrestled Trent in the past. Like Hayden said, I wrestled him, I think, four times. So I kind of have a feel of what the Headley brothers like to do. You know, Hayden's lefty, whereas Trent is a righty, so obviously it's different, and they're not the same wrestler. But Hayden knows how to score points. He really kind of muscles people around at 57 like he did last year, so I think it's going to be interesting. Hayden coming up two weights to see if he can, to see what his strength is like and if he can still be able to do the same things that he did at 57.
Hayden, what's been the biggest challenge in moving weight classes? Because I can imagine, you know, there's some things that you'll have an advantage with. There are other things that present a challenge. So in your mind, when you elected to kind of do this and play this route, what do you think has surprised you?
Well, I know that I've gotten a lot better as the year has gone on. I think at the start of the year, you're still trying to adjust to, I don't know, some of the guys are just taller, they're lengthier, and so that's kind of the things you have to deal with. But, you know, at the end of the day, I've really gotten used to it. I feel like right now I'm wrestling better than ever, and, you know, I've gotten better on the top position. I've gotten better at finding other offense on my feet, and, you know, I think as you go on the match and you can get guys tired, the underhook always comes back into play. And so I think I've been able to use what I was best at last year and added a few new twists. And, you know, I really like this weight class that I'm at right now. I'm spending a lot more time throughout the week being able to prepare for individual opponents and not prepare to make the weight. And I think that's certainly a really good positive for me as I move forward in this season.
Clay, is there anything you'd like to say to Hayden before you?
Oh, here we go.
We'll see you guys.
Here comes the mean
night.
Gene Okerlund.
No, I mean this. Yeah, is, okay. I love Friday Night Duels on ACC. Anyway, I think it's been one of the coolest things this network has done.
Yeah,
and I've got nothing but respect for the rest of them. And they've been great every time they've been on the show.
I'm gonna follow with this. Do you guys sense the momentum the sport has picked up in the last couple of years since the network launched because of the Friday Night Duels? Clay, I'll ask you first. Is there? I mean, you're from Kansas. You've come east to wrestle. Do you sense momentum for wrestling, ACC wrestling in particular, the last couple of years?
Yeah, definitely since I've been out here in Chapel Hill. ACC as a whole seems to be growing. Even not just Carolina, but, you know, every place that we go to and wrestle seems like the crowd is growing every single year. There's more fans involved. We're getting more publicity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's somewhat due to the overall teams as a conference. I think, you know, I think at one point we had four ACC teams in the top 10, I think, last year. But also the ACC duels, I think, they're definitely add to that and help.
All right, so Clay, this is it now. Is there any last words you've got for Hayden for tomorrow night?
No, man, I'm looking forward to this match. I think it's going to be a fun, fun match. I think I love competing in big crowds. NC State brings one of the loudest that I've wrestled in, so I think it's going to be fun.
Hayden, anything you'd like to say to Clay before tomorrow night?
No, I mean, he already knows the underhooks are coming. but I've got me and about 5,000 others or so that are coming with me, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, the crowds are going to be awesome.
That's what I'm talking about.
The crowds will be awesome.
The juices are starting to flow. I can feel it. Now, listen, Hayden joined us 2 years ago. He made his debut, so we've already asked the question.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We've already asked the question to Hayden. So, Clay, since you're making your debut on the show, here's the deal. Since you've been at the University of North Carolina, what has been your hardest class?
I would say one that I'm in right now. I'm in my Master's of Accounting, and I'm in this corporate finance class. I'm just bringing this one up because it's fresh in the mind. I had a midterm last night, so that one's been difficult.
All right.
Hayden, you got anything for that?
Huh? You got any corporate finance challenges, huh? We're good?
In undergrad, I think my hardest class was managerial accounting. So I guess that's
kind of... There we go. Tell you what, wrestlers just going to be counting their bread when they're done.
That's exactly
there
right.
There we go. Clay? Yeah. Hayden, thank you guys. This was fun to do. Appreciate you helping us out this morning. Good luck tomorrow night, guys. It'll be fun.
Thanks so much. Go Pack.
Yep. All right.
Go Heels.
Hayden Heidling, Clay Lout. That's what you wanted right there. Yeah.
So the wrestlers are great in this league. And I'm telling you, we've been saying it for years. If you don't watch Friday night, this network rocks it. Now, I'm telling you.
The duels.
The duels are killer, man. Those dudes get after. And both those guys are going to see each other eyeball. And I would almost love to be there tomorrow night when they come out going, oh, yeah. Remember the interview yesterday? Remember that interview yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, huh, huh. Boy, it's going to be tremendous.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget, tonight, following women's basketball, right around 10 o'clock, ladies edition of Nothing But Net. Kelsey Riggs with Muffet McGraw, Kelly Gramlich, and Chelsea Gray. Ready to guide you through the night in women's basketball. And then we'll re-rack and do it again on Saturday following a busy day on the men's card. Nothing But Net. All you need in one spot right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Ladies will be all over tonight. Kelly's going to be on with us later on.
Yeah, this is KG coming up 8 o'clock hour.
Night for ladies basketball. Yeah. Big.
Top of the hour, we celebrate a special anniversary here on Packer and Durham.
That's right.
That's coming up at 8 o'clock. And it's one that has taken us
to the basement.
In and out of the halls of ESPN. First, though, Californian Kiana Smith is having a terrific year for She's Louisville. Great. Cards are right in the fight with NC State for the regular season title in the ACC. She joined us yesterday ahead of the game with Notre Dame. And we started our visit by saying, you know, this Louisville-Notre Dame thing has kind of been something for a while now. And you guys took it to the Irish the other night.
Louisville-Notre Dame battle has a lot of history to it. I mean, Asia Durr came by to practice to tell us a little bit about it. So we're amped up, ready to go for that game. And it showed.
Seems like this team is starting to find it right now. I mean, listen, you've been consistently good all season long, but you want to start playing your best basketball at the right time of the year. Do you get a sense of that? I mean, I'm not talking about just Notre Dame. It just seems like the last week and a half, 2 weeks, Louisville is like, oh, we've been here. We're getting ready to go to the next level. Feels that way.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely made a lot of strides in our offense and defense these past couple weeks, but we definitely feel like we have a lot more to prove and a lot more to get better at. So we've been working pretty hard, and we have a tough two-week schedule to finish the ACC conference schedule. So we're excited about that.
Kiana, I know being a senior and being a prominent player on a team that's having great success, there's a lot of different variables that come into play. What characteristic mm-hmm. of this team do you think has served it best here recently?
I think it's our depth. I mean, like we all talk about how like most teams don't have five great defenders. So our coaches do a good job of finding that mismatch problem. Like sometimes it's Emily, sometimes it's me, Haley, O, and we trust each other and get each other the ball and let whoever has that mismatch problem go to work.
Mm. I tell you what, I know you'd love to play every game at home because if you did, things over. Man, you guys are so good at home. I know everybody is for the most part, but what's made it so special playing at home?
I mean, we have our fans back. Last year was a COVID year, so we didn't get as many fans as we usually do. And that atmosphere, Card Nation is just amazing, and it's so much fun to play in. I'm so sad that I only have one more game there in the regular season. So, but yeah, that atmosphere is ridiculous, and it's a lot of fun to play in.
Yeah, you came about this through a transfer back before they had immediate transfers, by the way. You got to be like, hey, really? Yeah. I mean, I had to sit one out here.
I know.
What has that atmosphere, that had to be part of the lure, I've got to believe, to come into Louisville, right? To come play in that kind of environment and for somebody as successful as Coach Walls, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I was looking to transfer, I wanted to come to a winning program, and Coach Walls has obviously proved that he does that. But I didn't get a chance to watch a game here before I transferred. So that this year is honestly really I'm feeling it now. So it's amazing. Card Nation is unbelievable, and they support us unbelievably throughout the whole year. So it's been awesome.
Now, this is probably not going to be a fair question, so I'll just give you this up front so you know what's coming. I know you're only worried about the next game. I get it, all right, because that's what student-athletes, coaches, everybody does. But I got to tell you,
right.
Sitting here in the basement, and we cover everybody, the anticipation, and I know the league's really good. We got 6 ranked teams. I get it. But the anticipation of Louisville and NC State at least one more time, I got to tell you, I got to have it. I got to see that game at least one more time.
Oh, trust me. We want that game too. Especially how the last one went. We want it bad. So we're going to do everything in our power to put us in position to see them again. And we expect the outcome to be different.
And by the way, that fourth quarter, not to bring up an open wound, but in some respects, it's not a bad thing either, is it? I mean, that's got to be an incredible motivator that, hey, for 3 quarters, hey, they're really good, we're really good, but we controlled that game, but we let that thing get away from us, give NC State credit. It's got to be a driving force, though, the rest of the way for this team, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, right after that game, we went back into practice, watched a lot of film, learned from it, and have been making changes ever since. So we're excited to see them again. Can't wait for that opportunity.
Kiana, I know you've been around basketball your whole life. I know your dad is coaching out on the West Coast. Your brother played for him. I mean, so you've seen this sport in just about every imaginable shape in your young life. And to that effect, and I know we're going to spend some time talking about here Louisville and NC State, you two bring out the best in one another, though, don't you? I mean, even if you were to step away, you would sense that Louisville and NC State, whatever it is, it's going to be high quality, high intensity, terrific basketball. Men, women, doesn't matter. You bring out the best in one another, it feels.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we both have a lot of respect for one another, a lot of respect for what each other's coaching and players mm-hmm. and their skill sets. And it's just fun competition at that point. And it's just whoever wants to win the most at that point. So, yeah, we definitely bring out a lot of good qualities in each other. And those games are always fun.
Do you have any name, image, and likeness deals? You working on that, or is that back burner?
Nothing too big. Maybe some local stuff for some small local Louisville businesses, but nothing too crazy yet. That stuff has been really cool, though. I know Haley and a lot of my other teammates have a lot of some deals. So that NIL stuff has been amazing.
Well, and I was going to ask you, because of your dad coaching at the collegiate level and your brother playing at that level, how are those discussions when name, image, and likeness comes up? Because that's kind of two different sides of the house, I would think, right?
Yeah, I mean, my dad coaches at a smaller school, mid-major, mm-hmm. so their name, image, and likeness stuff is a little bit smaller than some opportunities that we're available to. But yeah, we it's all love and support in the Smith household. So,
Coach has been on with us more than a dozen times.
A lot of times, right? From a car dealership or his car.
Yeah, he's an interesting cat on this show, which is great. What have you found the most enjoyable about playing for him?
I think the tough love, like Coach Walls can really get in us in practice and during the games, but off the court, all of that stuff is let go. Like he really cares for us as people and goes above and beyond for us for stuff off the court as well. And I really respect him and his basketball mind, and I enjoy playing for him.
And the Twitter fears? Deanna Smith.
Classy lady, right? Being really impressed with her.
Louisville, North Carolina coming up tonight on the schedule. We'll highlight that with Kelly Gramlich coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, about 8:30 KG will be by for a visit.
Yep, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech tonight too. So we have a pair of ranked versus ranked on the hardwood for the ladies.
That's it. And that Notre Dame, Georgia Tech is game 2 of our double dip right here on your friendly ACC network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.